Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 380 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today is a 4 before episode, four things to do before the end of August. We will be getting into that shortly. I was going to just do a quick mention that we are absolutely up against it again with the heat here in the UK. We've got another heat wave that we're in the middle of now, not quite as intense as the last one. We're going to get up to around 36, 37 degrees Celsius where we live, I think, but it's more that it's a prolonged one. It's going to last a lot longer than the last one. We're about 3 days in, I think, now, and it's going to go for several more days. And more to the point, we haven't seen a drop of rain for weeks and weeks and weeks. And you will probably know that here in the UK, we're not famous for our dry weather. We're famous for it being basically pretty wet all year round. And we have had hardly any rain this year, and hence Monday's episode on droughts. So, yeah, we are there again. And I think we're getting away with it so far here on the homestead. But I'm going to be doing next Friday a proper oddments episode. In fact, I will spend just a few seconds here at the start of the show just to talk about a couple of upcoming episodes that I've got for you guys, because I'm quite excited about them. So we're going to do a proper oddments episode next Friday and get you all caught up on what's going on here, what's happening with that piece of land, and whether which one we opted for. I know that some of you don't follow on YouTube, you only listen to the podcast, so you might not know what's going on, and I will get you all filled in next Friday. We're also going to be doing an episode. We're going to carry on our Monday series on extreme weather, so I'm not sure what Mondays will be, but I'm also going to be doing an episode really soon on a sort of a roadmap to homesteading, if you like, a sort of step-by-step guide if you're starting from scratch. And I'm not sure what it's going to look like, whether it's going to be a one gigantic episode, which will be really, really long, or whether I'm going to break it down into parts. But I want to do a sort of step-by-step guide for those of you out there who are thinking, well, this is all amazing, but we don't have any land, or this is all amazing, but we don't know where to start in the kitchen, and or we don't have any of the money or equipment or materials to do any of these things. And I want to do a sort of a roadmap to homesteading, a starting from square one and a step-by-step guide. Now, I think I might pass it out into different categories. So we might look at growing vegetables as its own thing, and we might look at perhaps polytunnels and that side of things. We might also look at livestock as their own thing. We'll look at some of the kitchen products as their own thing, and dairying and all of those things. And because I know it can be really sort of intimidating sometimes if you're starting from square one on the snakes and ladders board and you don't have any capital, you don't have any land, it can be really intimidating, even though you've got this yearning within you that this is what you want to do. You know, where do I start? Because it can be really expensive if you, particularly if you look online, if you follow people online, like maybe myself or others that have been doing it a little while, and you take a snapshot at all the stuff that they've got, whether it's polytunnels or freeze dryers or whatever it is, or just all the mason jars, and you can think, well, I don't have the money to get started. So we might do a step-by-step how to get into homesteading guide. That's my plan anyway, and that's going to be in the next week or two as well. I'm also hoping that I'll be able to release an episode, a conversation that I'm recording this weekend, where I'll be catching up with Alan from Urban Homesteading UK. But more about that next week. For now, we're going to get into our four things to do before the end of July. Okay then, so four things to do before the end of August. Not July, August. We're definitely in August now. And the first thing is to save/preserve water. And this is obviously front of mind for myself because of the situation that we're currently facing here in the UK. But it's a great one to do for all of us at any point, regardless of the weather conditions, for two reasons. The first of which is the obvious and the one that is, as I said, front of mind at the moment, and that is about being responsible and not using maybe some of the municipal water that has gone through sewage treatment plants and water treatment plants and had all of this energy and cost spent on it to deliver it to us as drinkable water, not to take that resource and then use that to water our plants with it when they don't want that. They don't need that level of purification in their water. We can just use tap water. So that's the first thing. And the second is to be a little bit more self-reliant, a little bit more resilient, a little bit more looking after our own needs, so that maybe at some point in the future, if you have a water leak in your area and they've got to shut the water down for a day or two to repair it, or if you're facing a severe drought at any point in the future and for whatever reason you just can't get water out of the taps, the more that we're used to saving and preserving water, then the better placed we're going to be to deal with situations like that. So there's lots of different ideas, and we've got all of the usual ones that I've spoken about before, like water butts. The idea of this as an item on our four things to do before the end of August is to really think about where you sit right now. Think about your water recycling, your water harvesting that you've got going on, and think, right, how can I improve it? So the first item on our four things to do before the end of August is to assess and improve, I suppose, our water preserving, our water saving, our water recycling, whatever that looks like. So if you've got no water catchment on your property at all, then perhaps it's as simple as just installing some water butts. They can go on your downpipes and capture the first lot of rainwater that comes until they're full, and then the rest just overflows back into the downpipe again and out the way it would normally go. But if you've already done that, then maybe we can think about extending that water catchment. Maybe add one to your shed, to the side of your shed, put some guttering up, again, something I've mentioned before, or just other ways that we can increase the way that we're using water efficiently on our property. So I've got a couple of thoughts for polytunnels. I'm going to be instigating at least one and possibly both of these in the next year or so when I get my hands on this really big polytunnel that I'm probably going to be taking over soon. And you can actually apply guttering to your polytunnel by fixing some timber through the plastic onto the frames and then applying your guttering to that, and then using some really good self-adhesive plastic tape to sort of run that along the top above the gutter onto the side of the polytunnel and flap down into the guttering. Now, this is something I'll probably do a YouTube video on at some point because it's one that lends itself more to a visual explanation than an audio one, but it's something that we can all do. And failing that, something else you can do with polytunnels, and I'm definitely going to be looking at this, is building a sort of irrigation channel at the side of it, because everything that would, all the rain that would normally land on the footprint that your polytunnel takes up is currently going to be landing on its roof, and then it's going to be running down into those channels either side. So perhaps, depending on where your polytunnel is placed, you can dig a little irrigation channel down the side of your polytunnels and put gravel in there and then continue them out through your vegetable garden, so that the water that runs off of your polytunnel effectively goes into a French drain and gets diverted towards your vegetable garden to feed, or water rather, your vegetables. So those are a couple of options of things we can do. Beyond that, we can also think about harvesting grey water, the water that we've used inside our house. Now, if you've finished doing some washing up or a bath, depending on what chemicals you're using, and that's perhaps a topic for another day, that's something we can talk about in a different episode, but so long as you're not using any chemicals that are going to damage your plants, you can think about reusing that water. Now, again, something I haven't done, but I'd like to do, is fit a sort of valve on the outside of our property. So most of us, at least here in the UK, you will find if you look at the wall outside your building where your bathroom is and where your kitchen is, you'll notice that the waste pipes for your bath and your shower and your sinks will all come out of the property, and then they will generally join into a 4-inch pipe, which has got your main waste, which takes your toilet waste and everything else. Now, if you can tap into that, into the smaller pipe, which is usually about an inch and a half or an inch and three quarters, I think, if you could tap into that and fit a valve so that you could direct the water one way if it was grey water that you wanted to reuse, and the rest of the time just leave it turned the other way so that it was going into the sewer system, then what it enables you to do is when you've done that washing up and you don't have any chemicals that you're worried about putting in the garden, you can just flip that valve, put a bucket outside, pull the plug out of your sink and harvest that water for reuse. That's a little bit more involved than rigging up a water butt. And obviously, we're aiming this, the first item in our 4x4, as something that we can all do, we can all improve on. So whether you're starting from scratch and we're just going to put a water butt next to a shed, or whether we've already done that and we're looking for other ways to preserve water and improve on our water saving methods, this is maybe one for you guys who have already taken some of those earlier steps. So that's number one on our four things to do before the end of August. Number two, this is to go out and enjoy a public wild space or a footpath or a woodland or something you've got near you. Now, I think that this is something that we can quite often overlook. I think when we get stuck into our gardens, it can sometimes be tempting to just get stuck in our ways and be constantly thinking about what we need to do in our gardens and not always think about what's going on outside of our gardens. And we can really take some cues from Mother Nature, and just by walking around and observing nature and making sure that we're connected to the natural rhythms that are out there from month to month, from season to season, I think it helps to make us better gardeners and make us better people. And just to be aware of what's going on around us. Now, depending on where you live, it is going to depend on what you've got access to. Here in the UK, you might want to get hold of, well, you certainly should consider getting hold of an ordnance survey map that covers your local area so you can see all of the footpaths and other things and just get to know the geography around you. But maybe you're lucky enough to have beaches or a woodland within walking distance of your property. But either way, I think by spending some time in nature, observing, learning and tuning in, it can be really, really beneficial. And like I say, we can just learn from Mother Nature and take some of those lessons back into our garden and repeat them. It's things like what is growing in your area, what's doing well this year, what's doing well full stop. Because these can give us all sorts of hints and tips as to what we might want to be growing at home and find that we're fighting less of a battle to have it grow well if we're copying the things in Mother Nature. And that's a lot of what permaculture is about observing and interacting with what's already happening in nature and using that to guide our principles. So the second thing on our four things to do before the end of August is to go out and spend some time in nature, observe and learn and tune in to the cycles that are all around us. Have a look at what's fruiting, what's flowering, what's struggling. If you're in the UK, what's struggling with the drought that we're about to be in, if we're not already? I think there's talk of them actually declaring a drought very soon in terms of they're actually, you know, giving it an official name. But wherever you are, there's definitely things that we can tune into. And these cycles are everywhere. Like I say, even on the beaches, I know that beaches fit well into my foraging calendar because there are things that I'm foraging at the beach in the wintertime when perhaps the foraging elsewhere is less fruitful. But it's always, always, I think, beneficial for our mental health as well, but just for being better gardeners to be spending time in nature all the time. So that's the first two then: preserve and save some water and spend some time enjoying a public wild space near you. The third thing, and this is something that is often forgotten now that we're in August. We are so busy harvesting and weeding and enjoying the fruits of our labour, which is absolutely valuable and important to do. But sometimes we forget that we should also be sowing seeds. There are still things that we can be sowing. Now, it's going to depend very much on where you are. If you're in the South UK, there are some things that you can still get away with that perhaps in the northern parts of the UK you can't any longer. But there are still things we can be sowing. And there are some things where now is the time to sow them. Things like spring cabbages. We've recently just sowed a load of spring cabbages so that they're going to be really nice, robust seedlings ready to go in at, well, towards the end of the growing season now. You know, the main growing season, because we quite often think of the growing season as being the time of year between frosts, at least here in the UK. That's kind of how we would frame it, or I think it's how I frame it to myself when I'm thinking about it. So it's really easy to think that's the growing season and focus on that. And coupled with that, it becomes even easier to forget to sow things, because right now, in the middle of summer, when it's so warm and hot and we're harvesting and we're busy and we're going on holidays and doing all of these amazing things, it's really easy to forget that we also need to be sowing seeds now if we want that abundance for winter and spring. So I've mentioned spring cabbages. Now's the time to be planting those, to sow those rather. Also, lots of oriental veg can be going in now, things like pak choi. You can also consider overwintering onions and stuff like that. But then there's also things that we can plant now for just fast harvests. So we should still be succession sowing things like rocket, chicory, radish. And we can also be sowing fennel and lettuce and be getting a crop this year. Now, of course, with all of these things, it's going to depend a little bit on where you are, your exact circumstances. But there is definitely things to be sowing now. And if you're not sowing now, if you go through the whole of August without sowing anything, then you are definitely going to find that you get little gaps in your production that perhaps you would rather not have. So that's number three in our four things to do before the end of August: sow some seeds. And the final thing, the last thing on our list, is to harvest some free fruit, some free soft fruit probably, but there's all sorts out there. And I am talking about foraging, so this ties in nicely with our number two today of going enjoying a public space. But specifically, number four is to harvest some free fruit. So we are seeing an abundance of blackberries now. Elderberries are just coming out. So there's also apples and pears out there, wild apples and pears, along with currants and plums and damsons. These are all things that can be found depending on your level of foraging skill. This, you know, we're really in soft fruit season. So get out there and find some. And if all else fails, like I say, with a, as always, with the four before, the goal is with each of these things that we can all set our own personal bar. And if you are really new to foraging, you've never really collected anything, then just go out and collect some blackberries, because they really are everywhere. I don't think anyone is going to struggle finding blackberries at the moment. So go out and pick some of those. And if you are someone who is already harvesting blackberries every year, have done for some time, you've got a freezer already full of them because you've been out busy already this month, then maybe try and expand your repertoire. See if you can find a wild pear tree or a currant bush that you didn't know was there, or find some plums or damsons. I promise you they're out there just on hedgerows alongside roads. I know last year I went for a walk and I found about six different types of fruit all in 100 yards. There were blackberries, currants, damsons, apples, pears. I found an amazing pear tree, and walnuts, all within 100 yards or so. So they are out there to be found. You've just got to put the footsteps in, as I say. So get on out there and harvest yourself some fruit, some soft fruit. There's lots and lots available. And again, if these are all old hat to you, then maybe think about some new ways of preserving them or cooking with them. Come up with a new recipe, a new cake or something. And just get out there and enjoy nature's abundance, because we spend so much time and energy. If you think about it, if you're someone who doesn't really do much foraging, if you're someone who spends a lot of time in their garden but doesn't really look over their fence. And it's not a bad thing, I'm not saying that in a negative way, but if you are someone that doesn't spend a lot of time out there in nature, and particularly if you're someone who doesn't harvest anything from the wild to bring home in their kitchen, I think you're really missing a trick. Because when you look on the other side of that coin, if blackberries were really, really hard to grow and you had to have certain soil and perhaps they'd only grow in a polytunnel and they were only annuals and they required feeding like tomatoes did, you would probably put quite a lot of effort into making a blackberry bush in your garden thrive. And you'd probably put quite a lot of effort into harvesting that fruit and not letting it go to waste. But with so many of the wild foodstuffs that are growing all around us, the wild edibles out there, I think that they're a victim of their own success. And what I mean by that is it's just the fact that they're everywhere and everyone can harvest them means that they're less sort of prized, less sought after. And we certainly can have a tendency to ignore them and focus on what's going on in our garden when there's this abundance out there just ready to be harvested that we would consider criminal to let go to waste if we'd grown it in our own plots. If we grew it in our allotment and then we just let it all go to waste, we would just, well, we can't even think about it, can we? But it's out there right now, just waiting to be picked. You just need to turn up with your containers and get harvesting. So please, please do get out there and do that. So that's the four things to do before the end of August. So I'll go through them again. Just a quick recap. Number one is to improve your water saving, your water preserving, or your water recycling at home. Number two is to go out and spend some time in a public wild space and just do a little bit of learning from nature and trying to apply something you've learned from nature back at your own property. Number three is to sow some seeds. Please don't neglect to sow seeds just because we're harvesting so much. And number four is to go and harvest some wild free fruit because it is everywhere. And that is it for our 4B4. I do have one last little announcement, actually, at the end of the show, is just to say I was recently on the Dirt podcast. So if you wanted to check out that, it's their latest episode. The podcast is just called The Dirt. And I was their latest interviewee, where I'm talking about all sorts of the things that we talk about here. And that was like a mini interview with me. So if you're interested in that, please do go and check them out. That's it for today, guys. Thanks ever so much for listening, and I will speak to you all on Monday. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.